Thank you very much. It's been daunting following Professor Peter Newman. He's one of the esteemed directors of Infrastructure Australia, but I'm delighted people like Peter and Brendan Gleeson from Chris is here as well. People who in academia struggled away for years trying to convince the world that sustainability wasn't just about hippie economics, but there was something to be mainstreamed about it. And your time has come. The rest of the world's caught up and cottoned on, and it's great to have some of the leading academic minds about sustainable cities based in Australia, and particularly in places like Perth and southeast Queensland. I have the great pleasure of talking about how global cities can compete, or how cities can compete globally. And by way of background, to provide only scant reason why I'd have any right to talk on this subject, my day job is managing director of a thing called the Tourism and Transport Forum, which, not surprisingly, is an advocate for the tourism and transport industries, cunningly disguised in its name. Also Deputy Chairman of Infrastructure Partnerships Australia, a group that between the two groups that we run as sort of the one back of house, probably takes some credit for trying to revive the whole agenda about cities in Australian politics. And whether it's as we wait with bated breath for Peter and his colleagues to deliver their decisions, still recommendations to government, and then government to deliver their decisions based on the Building Australia Fund, that will no doubt and quite appropriately deliver the vast bulk of those billions of federal dollars into urban congestion in Australian cities to try and relieve, hopefully to relieve that urban congestion. It's appropriate that that we continue a dialogue about how cities can be done. Out of those two groups, we've recently formed another thing called the Australian Cities Roundtable, an attempt, public-private sector attempt, to try and focus greater debate on infrastructure in the cities, livability, mobility, sustainability, creativity, the four pillars upon which we need to have great cities in Australia. And it's fascinating to actually talk about cities again, because this conference held 5 years ago was all about regional development, or this conference of its like. We had an entire debate, you know, us, we are the Never Never people, the great outback nation, where apparently we all lived with dust under our boots in a humpy somewhere or herding cattle across the great plains of Australia, when actually we're about the most urban and suburban people on the face of the earth. But unfortunately, particularly at federal government levels, too many of those successive federal governments thought they were simply a rural development agency and ignored and abdicated their responsibility to maintain quality of life, quality of commerce, quality of amenity in Australian cities. That's where we live, probably at higher levels than most other people on earth. And the only government with the money these days, the federal government, was the only government not focusing on those cities, and we're delighted that in recent times that has changed. Our first ever Federal Minister for Infrastructure, a Building Australia Fund designed to go into helping urban congestion, a federal government leaning on state government saying, come on, get your finger out, get better at your urban delivery. All of us hoping that eventually we might even see that manifest in better governance. But speaking of a city like Brisbane, the best in the country, one local council covering the major metropolitan area of Brisbane. I hail from a city in Sydney where there's 45 local councils in the metropolitan area. I'm yet to find one single person to tell me that that's an ideal governance model for any city. In fact, it's almost entirely the opposite. And while I'll keep tilting at the local government amalgamation windmill, and I'll keep tilting, and my hero for life remains Peter Beattie, who on the way out the door said, bugger it, Brisbane, it's good enough for Brisbane and the Gold Coast, it's good enough for the rest of Queensland, particularly the rest of urban Queensland, to try and get a degree of common sense in its urban governance. Because it's only when you have governments of scale, it's only when those governments have scale that can have partnerships with state government, with federal government, and with the private sector, that we can actually do something. It is beyond the capacity of the little local council to make a significant change in urban governance. There's too many of them. How do you get them together? Regional groupings. It just doesn't work. So it's great being a city like Brisbane talking about cities, because it's always had a focus on cities. It's unlike, as Peter spoke, some of the governments who have to try and restore decaying cities. In Brisbane, it's a case of trying to keep up. You know, how do you have the government and private sector deliver the infrastructure and the services to this incredible growth spectrum of southeast Queensland? And it's hard to even talk of Brisbane. You really need to talk about southeast Queensland, the mega city of, you know, Noosa to Coolangatta and all stops in between, out to Ipswich. This is the urban experiment of Australia in many ways. I think Peter's lucky in Perth as a smaller city, which is now, and hopefully will continue to face significant growth. They can probably trial some things and miss out on the mistakes that other cities have made, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, where they're retrofitting quickly. Brisbane, South East Queensland, somewhere in between. It's had made mistakes, but it's still in a massive growth phase, and it actually seems to be addressing them. So it's entirely appropriate for this conference to be based right here in this city. I just want to talk about three things quickly. Firstly, infrastructure. Secondly, branding, and then maybe a local focus. So I touched on some of those infrastructure issues. It is very important that we don't lose the momentum. We have convinced the new federal government that they have a role in cities. They have a role in policy, in funding, in infrastructure provision, in governance, in a whole range of ways. They've established Infrastructure Australia as a forum. They've put aside the Building Australia Fund. In the new economic stimulus package, the vast majority will go into urban issues, urban social services of education and community housing. They are moving on in sustainability issues. I think even in addition to Peter's list there was the $60 million for heritage, recognising that part of our cities, its urban construct is one of convicts or indigenous or natural heritage. And so I think at all elements, and I pay tribute to the Greens who actually pushed that proposal forward on the government as part of the stimulus package. But there is more to be done. To get the federal government in is one thing. We have to mainstream, never let our federal government ever retreat from its urban responsibility. We simply can't have them picking up, you know. Normally the federal responsibility is there's an airport in the middle of town, that's federal land, and there's been no communication between state, local and federal governments. It was a bad example of federal intervention into cities. The best example is what's happening now. Put your money where your mouth is, apply your policy rigour, and impose yourself absolutely in a partnership model with private sector, state government and local government. And I think we might actually get some of the outcomes. We mightn't get quite some of the European models, and you know, we have to have an Australian model of urbanisation. A kid from Parramatta in the suburbs of Sydney, you marvel at the thought of ever having better transport links to get into the city. But you also, cities are great beacons. And the American models are often a city is that downtown core, which is usually black, and a suburban core, which is usually white. One's poor, one's rich, the two hardly ever mix, and you're combining resources all the time. We're blessed to have different types of city structures, I think, much more integrated, much less ghettoed at their best, although some recent developments on the outer fringe of our cities are probably changing some of that. But we have not lost the plot yet. We're not as far down the American route. We're not, or even where the British are. Lawlessness hasn't set in most of our cities as a direct result of bad urban planning, bad transport. We also have a government, and we need all governments to recognise that transport is not just an economic policy driver. It is a fundamental social policy driver. The pensioners who can't get to the medical centre for the healthcare are denied their quality of life. Kids in the suburbs who can't access universities in the downtown area are denied a fair shot at their future. Businesses who want to set up in outer fringe areas, we shouldn't have to be having radial cities where every single business is in George Street, Sydney, Brisbane or Collins Street in Melbourne. We need to have some of those campus-style developments, which will innately be more sustainable by their development. But if you can't get to them, if we're forced to take the car, then who are we to tell people they can't take their car? There is a tyranny of distance that will only be overcome when governments realise that transport is a very fundamental social benefit and social right. And I'm not into the road versus rail, public versus private. We need cars and trains and buses and light rail and private money and public money and state and federal and local. We need all of it because we've got a big problem to solve. And I think all of us have to stop being so religious about the many years of debate in transport is, you know, which corner do you sit in? We need them all in that intersecting part in the middle, all focused on a sustainable outcome, all focused on a partnership delivery method, and I think we'll try and make up some of the ills, the 100 years of ills that we've put into our transport modelling. And we can't model cities without modelling transport. New South Wales delivered this magnificent metro strategy and forgot that it needed a transport strategy to go with it. CQIB in Queensland, South East Queensland, is probably one of the best. Integrated, and I know, speak on behalf of some of the, you know, IA whispering that, you know, the submissions that came in, South East Queensland stood above many of the others for a complex approach to demography, to integrated planning between land use, land planning and transport planning, because I can't believe they could possibly separate them. And there's struggles ahead. You know, we've got toll roads, which we've got in this town, which are still struggling, but I pay tribute to Campbell Newman having the courage to bludgeon the state government into coming with him on transport within roads, and now both of them going forward on rail, and hopefully whoever wins the election will see the tram system, the light rail system that the Gold Coast deserves, and not be stranded as the most car-dependent city in Australia. Those things need to continue. Partnerships like the Trade Coast, where you've got state and local agencies, private sector coming together to try and do a hub prospect. And what Peter spoke about, the train station at Chatswood and St Leonards. What a novel approach. Live at the station. Shop at the station. Work at the station, so driving to the station. We've still got governments in Australia who are ideologically opposed to building things over train stations. Sometimes some policy drivers really beg a belief. It's the most obvious thing you can do in Australia. Start your developments around your transport nodes. Stop releasing quarter-acre blocks on the urban fringe. Start recognising that we're going to have to consolidate urban Australia. Stop pushing it further out, condemning people to social exclusion, condemning the environment to long car trips, and condemning the taxpayers to funding more and more services on the outer fringe. We all love, when I grew up in a suburban block, was lovely. My kids won't, they don't. They grew up in the inner city. Guess what? They're living large, they're enjoying it, they're going a little feral in the streets of Balmain, and less feral than we did in the streets of Parramatta. But let's green the inner cities and have that, rather than assume we just have to go 50 miles from the GPO to find a block of land to live on. It's just dumb. It's dumb planning, no matter what way you look at it. But also, it's not only about infrastructure. Because if we only focus on that as an issue, we forget what is the essential driver of cities. And that's the livability, the amenity, the creativity, that magnetism. You know, I love a good tollway, I love a good rail line, but it's not going to make me move to the city for it. You know, I prefer to get to the movies or a nice restaurant or be hang out in the urban buzz. One of the great examples, the revival of the Fortitude Valley. When I was a kid, Fortitude Valley was a place you went to on a bucks night. Now, it probably still is, but there's plenty of other reasons to go there as well now. A revival of inner city retail, trendy downtown apartments, good restaurants, given a buzz to Brisbane, you know, Bris Vegas, Brisneyland, as we all call it, other parts of the country. This place has got a buzz about it. It's actually a successful model of reviving a city. People like Brisbane Marketing, I don't know if John Aitken's here, but Brisbane Marketing and the governments around them that have turned Brisbane, are turning Brisbane and well down the path from a gateway to the Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast. You know, the only decision before was a Brisbane airport. You turn left or turn right to get to one of the other places you actually wanted to be, to turn Brisbane into a destination, an attractive destination to do business, to study, to vacation, to live. And while we're going to have, part of those creativity drivers are going to have short-term political issues where governments are saying, close the borders, no more immigrants, the base political prerogative, which is just ridiculous. We are going to be, as Australia, in a battle for the smartest people of the world. We want to become a work here. And we might have a 1 or 2 year blip with the global financial crisis, which will put political pressure to reduce immigration. But we'd better be back into it after that, baby. And our cities are what's going to drive people. It's the reason people want to be here. It's their attractiveness, their functionality, their amenity, and their livability, where you want to raise your kids, where you want to go to work, where you want to study, where you want to make your investments, and where you want to continue to celebrate what we do in cities. We want to be with people. You know, it's part of the reason, thousands of years ago when we started urbanising, there was a reason for that. Collective economic advantage and the need not to want to live in a clay hut on your own with nobody else around you. Some people still want to do that, and good luck to them. We should make it available for them. The vast majority of the world want the amenity and functionality that comes with cities, and it's our responsibility to try and deliver that. But they also need branding, and people often get annoyed when you talk about cities as assets or as brands. Well, they are. Like it or not, they are branded. I'm involved in a process in Sydney, the Global Brand Sydney Committee for the Premier, looking at how you re-promote Sydney. Different imperative to Brisbane. Brisbane is really starting from a base and going out. Sydney's is rebranding because it's got a little tarnished. The only city to squander its Olympic Games. Remarkable achievement to go backwards on any metric since the Olympic Games. A new Olympic record that Sydney has set. Finally, however, people drawing a line in the sand, and the Premier Rees and the Lord Mayor, and a unique partnership for Sydney, because Sydney doesn't do partnerships well at all in any shape, manner or form. It's the least parochial city in Australia. Are looking at how we can actually get this grand coalition to go back out and take Sydney into the world, just as we're also involved in the Grand Australia Council initiative. Victoria and Melbourne are already doing this. Tasmania is probably the national leader. Southeast Queensland certainly needs to cotton on to that. And I do keep using the SCQ because I do think we have to talk about this city as being Gold Coast, Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast. That's its geographic reality. That's now increasingly its commercial reality. That's certainly its residential reality. This is becoming the mega city of Australia, and its growth pattern suggests that'll continue. The challenge is there. But we need that unique partnership that Brisbane does do well. I've hosted functions in Sydney and Melbourne where the Premier and the Lord Mayor, different political parties, come to town holding hands, you know, kissing cousins, singing as one. It works. If nothing else, it works because the people of different parties doing things together. And regardless of the outcome of the election on March 21, I hope we see a continued relationship between the City of Brisbane and the Queensland Government, and increasingly the City of the Gold Coast, and even though they hate it, the City of the Sunshine Coast. They hate being together, but I think it's a great idea. The City of the Sunshine Coast, because that's governments going together and take the private sector with them. And talk about the branding of the city. These things, brands have to be nurtured. They have to be tended to. It's a deliberate action. It's not just accidental. Yes, the brand has to match reality. So you can't say you're a great city if you're not. But you can, if you're a really good city, you can certainly say you're a great city and challenge everybody to make it great and bring people along. But we have to get out there, not only for tourism benefits and events and conventions, but for attracting regional headquarters, for attracting students to want to study in the great institutions in town, for attracting the immigrants we want to bring in at different levels of the economy to work in our factories, to work in our laboratories, to run our businesses, to help build our communities. There is a battle on. Cities are going to continually compete. To some extent, nations are becoming much less relevant and cities are becoming much more relevant. And while our governance structure is unique to Australia, if we can overcome that, and I don't want to labour that too much, we have the potential for at least, you know, three or four great cities of Australia to emerge and to go forth and dig their share of things, get their share of smart people, get their share of investment dollars, get their share of tourists, and get their share of any metric you like that comes to cities. Just in closing, because I know we're running a bit late, I think there's a challenge there, as I said, for Brisbane, for South East Queensland, to localise it. This is the great experiment, the test tube of Australian urban living. And I think by admission of all governments in this state have missed some of missed the boat as the communities kept moving up. It's a funny thing when the relocation comes. All the people come from the country town of Victoria, but they didn't bring their public library with them. There must be some very well-serviced regional communities in Victoria, and with due respect, some of those ones that have suffered in recent times. It's the difficulty of urban relocation, which South East Queensland has both benefited from and suffered the consequences of, that you don't simply put your infrastructure on the back of a truck and bring it with you when you relocate. And that's a challenge for local governments to have to fill it in. And appropriately now, it's also a federal government's going to meet their share of responsibility on. But if we get it wrong in South East Queensland, the problem is major. From water supply to we're in a district now where the arts precinct has caught up with people's desire, but to enough both tarmac and track to lay to move people around, to enough social services to meet the health, education and security needs of the community. All these things are a great challenge, and this part of Australia is the one that most of everybody is watching most closely. Microcosms like the Gold Coast. The kind of weird city where the white pages is that thick and the yellow pages is that thick. You know, cities that are built on tertiary industry, another brave social experiment that don't have the traditional backbones of other cities of manufacturing that's there. So the challenge is here, and I think with the sort of partnerships that South East Queensland has shown it's capable of doing over the past, commercially, politically and otherwise, use that great parochial spirit. They might cringe when the Maroons kick the Blues in the State of Origin every year, but it's kind of cool to see a city that likes getting together, that can actually work cooperatively and collaboratively across three levels of government, public and private sector, maybe even unions and business, because that's what it takes, great partnerships to produce great cities. I think South East Queensland is at the hope of achieving that, whichever metric you use, commercial, environmental or civic. And if that is met, then I think South East Queensland, or as the great Jim Kennedy, one of the great commercial sons of this part of the world, wants put forward the notion, let's just get over with and call it Pacific City, one amorphous mass from Coolangatta to Noosa. Whichever name it runs, whichever rule it's governed, the people of it will be the winners or losers based on whether the public and private sector gets it right. That'll be truly a city competing on a global stage with the capacity to do so, human, physical, technological and environmental. And let's hope for all of us they get it right. Thanks.